This week on Intrigued Full Effect.
It's overwhelming. It's just a struggle. It just consumes me all day long, every day.
I'm Chandrea Thomas, and welcome to episode 53. I had a little bit of a hiatus, but I was making some major career changes, and I'll tell you guys all about that another day. In this podcast, I talk about curious cases, disappearances, and other stuff. And today, I'm talking about the case of 69-year-old Betty Alexander, who vanished from her Sullivan, Missouri home on April 10th of 2019. Now, there are a lot of questions surrounding her disappearance and what may have happened on that day. I spoke to her daughter, Tanya Miller, and a detective from the Sullivan Police Department about the case. This is what happened.
So, April the 10th of 2019, your mother disappeared. Tell me what happened that day. What do you remember about it? And how did you find out?
Actually, that was the first weekend that we had any different plans. Dad had passed away back in December of 2018. So a few months before mom disappeared. And so after he passed away, she would come to my house, and at first she started spending like a whole week at a time with us, and then it kind of went down to every weekend she'd come out and stay at our house. And that was the first weekend that we had any change in plans. My daughter had a track meet that was 2 hours out of town, and I knew with mom having rods and screws in her back that she'd have trouble not only with the car ride but sitting there for the track meet that was going to be all day long too. So I told her I could pick her up Friday night and then take her back home Saturday morning before we had to leave. And she said that, she would just stay home and then go to church on Sunday. And I said, okay, well, I'll pick you up later on Sunday and we'll go do your grocery shopping and we can visit for a little while then. And, so she was okay with that. And so whenever I was at the track meet, my brother, John, had called and asked if I had talked to mom. And I said, no, I haven't seen her. And I explained to him I was at track meet and she was at home and I was supposed to pick her up Sunday. And he said he had tried calling her and he had no answer, which mom always, she had a phone that was on the wall, even though it was across the room, no matter what, she'd always pick up on the first ring. So whenever I went to go pick her up Sunday, I called when I was on my way to let her know I was coming, and there was no answer. And when I got to her house, I knocked on the door, and she still didn't answer. So I tried the doorknob, and it was locked, and I got my key out, and I went inside. And the first thing I saw was the Meals on Wheels that she has delivered. There was her box of food for the weekend and milk on the table. I instantly just grabbed the milk and felt that it was warm. So I knew something wasn't right. I went around her apartment and was calling for her, looking for her, came back in. It's a very small apartment, just the bedroom and then the kitchen and dining room are together. So I went into the living room, saw her glasses that were on the arm of her recliner, and you know, when she stayed with us, she wouldn't even get up and put her feet on the floor without putting her glasses on immediately. So I knew something was wrong. I went outside and I ran into her neighbor, Jerry, and told him what was going on. And he started talking to the neighbors to go see, you know, if they had seen her. I called my brothers, asked them if they had seen her. I thought maybe they came and picked her up or something for dinner. And they hadn't seen her. And so that's whenever I called the police and had them come out.
Okay. And so she lived in this apartment by herself. How long has she been living there? Just out of curiosity.
It had been probably about 4 years, her and dad. And then just her by herself. It was since December of 2018. So just for a few months by herself.
When you think back at your conversations and that you've talked with, you know, when you talked to her, did she ever say anyone worried her? Did she ever see anything that was weird? Or was this just was there something that she was worried about at the time? I'm just kind of trying to get a context of where she was in her mind at that time living there.
Yeah, there was nothing that she had mentioned to me as far as being concerned. She was just frustrated because Dad always worked with all the electronics, the TV, changing the clocks, stuff like that. And would go over there during the week and help her with that kind of thing. But other than that, there was no concern that she had shown.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, your mom was, what, 72? How old was she at the time when she disappeared?
She was 69 when she disappeared.
Sorry. She was 69. Okay. And so just so people understand, you know, what did she have any issues with her state of mind, her memory, or anything like that? Has she ever wandered off before?
She was diagnosed with the very beginning stages of dementia. Mm-hmm. And I think as soon as I mentioned that she did, when the police were questioning, asking if she had any medical issues, including any kind of dementia, and I did mention she has the beginning stages of dementia, I think right off the bat, it was just treated as a case of she wandered off, even though I kept telling them, I don't believe she just wandered off. It wasn't like that. I had talked to her doctor, and they were trying to regulate her pain medicine along with the dementia medicine. And so in order to increase her pain medicine, because she was in a lot of pain, they were having to lower that dementia medicine. And I had talked to her doctor after she had disappeared, and he basically had said, you know, in a roundabout way, that if she hadn't taken her medicine, that the dosage was so low, you wouldn't even really be able to tell. And then talking to her neighbors, the only signs that we could see were that she would forget a name or she'd mix up a name. She could tell you my son's crazy sports schedule. She could give you directions wherever we were going. So she was always knew what was going on when she was with us. Her neighbors said they didn't even know she had any form of dementia because she never showed signs for them either.
Wow. So tell me about searches. So at what point did you guys file the police report? I'm assuming it's that same day. And then when did you guys start searching for her? How did that go?
The fire department started out with the search team, and they ran canines and the helicopter with infrared. And then later on, I got set up with Christian Aid Ministry, and they're an advanced search team. They came in from other states, and they thoroughly searched the wooded area that's by her apartment complex.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So with the search dogs and all that, was there ever any indication of like where her trail started and ended? Were they able to kind of get any idea of direction that she went, or did anyone see her or anything like that on that day? Do you know when she was last seen by anyone?
She was last seen around 3 o'clock in the afternoon by her neighbor, Jerry. Before that, she had a delivery from the pharmacy, and she had Meals on Wheels had come in. And then she also had her cleaning lady, who also brings in her food from the food pantry. She had come in to talk to her that day. I had called her and talked to her just to see, hey, you know, how was she acting? Was anything strange? And she said, no, she was in good spirits. And she was even telling her how she was sleeping better because her pain didn't seem to be bad that night. And she said there was nothing that seemed off about her that day at all.
Wow. And that's the crazy part, because I'm almost wondering, like, you know, she just vanished that day. So let's get into, I guess, the theories of what you think may have happened. I mean, have you guys ever been able to come up with any theories about it? I mean, would you think she was somebody broke in and robbed her? Do you think that someone lured her out of the house? But you said she would never. Do you think someone took her? You know, what do you think, just kind of as you've gone through these years of searching and trying to figure out, you know, what do you think may have happened?
I really think that somebody came in and was involved with her disappearance. She had just had a delivery of fentanyl patches. Box 2 of 2 was there, but box 1 of 2 was missing. And she had the box from March, the previous month. It was empty on the top of her kitchen trash can.
So she had multiple boxes. She had been on the medication for years, you said, because of she had a back issue, I believe.
Yes, she had rods and screws in her back.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts that there would be anyone who would want to harm her? Any issues the in life that, you know, that could have occurred to where someone would try to get her in any way? Just so we could clarify that from what the family believes.
Right. There is nobody that I could think of that would have any reason to harm her. She pretty much kept to herself besides being with family. She would just kind of hang out at the apartment complex and talk to the people there. And so, she wasn't around a lot of people, and there's no reason that I would believe there was any reason that anybody would want to harm her unless it could be over those patches.
And let's talk about what she left behind. So I know that there were some major items left behind. Tell me what did you find that was physically there? I know that her glasses were there in a weird position. And what about the rest?
I also found that her purse was in the closet. She kept it in the bedroom closet, and it had her apartment keys. It had her non-driver's license, her debit card, insurance cards. Everything was there. Everything was in her purse. She had an outfit that she had picked out for the next day hanging up in her closet. It's like everything in the house was still there. The only thing that was missing was her in that box of fentanyl patches.
Now, when you said the neighbor saw her last, where did he see her? What was she doing? Was she walking away somewhere? Or what did they say they saw?
He said that he saw her. She had a little flower garden out in front of her apartment complex, and he said he saw her out there working in her flower garden.
As far as her social security numbers, activity with any type of bills, money, bank activity, has any of that occurred? What are police saying about that?
There has been no activity whatsoever. I can still access her bank account. She had me on that because before Dad passed away, he was the one he handled the bills. So after he passed away, I took over paying her bills and everything for her. So, and I still to this day will check her account just to see if there's any kind of activity. I looked at her Medicare or Medicaid and to see if there was any kind of activity with that. There's nothing.
What about sightings and tips? What have you guys received with regard to that?
There's been several possible sightings that have been called in, checked them out, and they've all become dead ends. There was a possible sighting that I'm still not certain if it was actually mom or not, that would have been that following day on a Thursday. And two employees from one of the companies that's right down the road from her apartment complex said that they thought that they saw her standing in the road by the fire station. And so they walked out to their cars, got in, went to leave, and she was still just standing there in the middle of the road staring at the fire station. They said they had to actually drive around to because she wasn't moving.
As far as searches, I know you guys had your initial searches. Are there ponds or woods? Like what's, 'cause you're in Sullivan, right? That's where
Right.
she lived, Sullivan, Missouri. So is there any area, wooded areas that she may have wandered into or something like that?
I think the large wooded area that's by her apartment complex has been, we have searched that. I don't know how many times we had that advanced search team come in as well, and they did a thorough search of the area. There's two lakes that are in town, and those they sent divers in there to check those. I feel like the search has been done pretty good in that wooded area. We've gone back numerous times. There's a K-9 team that has been there anytime that I've found a spot that I want to go search, or if they think that we need to search it again. They've even just walked through woods with me just to, help search it. And they are actually, we're talking about possibly going over a couple areas that they're uncertain were cleared, as far as with the dogs, where they thought there may be possible hits in two different areas of town.
Okay.
So they want to just go through and make sure that those are cleared off.
I reached out to Sullivan Police and I spoke to a detective Reed about the status of Betty's case. He says it is still very active and that other law enforcement agencies are now part of the investigation, but he couldn't release any other information or details about searches or leads in the case.
So let me ask you about your mom, her personality. Tell me what life has been like for you, you know, since she's disappeared in your family. I'm sure it's got to be absolutely devastating to have no answers to this, you know, holidays and things like that. Tell me how you guys are functioning with everything right now.
It's just day by day. It's overwhelming. It's just a struggle. It just consumes me all day long, every day. It's hard to try and focus on my family, my kids' sports, everything, the holidays, and just separate that time from just constantly thinking, looking for answers. The holidays are difficult because mom always used to be there. This past Easter, I was finally able to break out her china that she had given me. And I grew up, she would always make special dinners with her china. And so I was finally able to get that out after all these years. And we just try and include her. Like she always made the best deviled eggs that my kids just loved. And so we always try and include her still in the holidays. It is very difficult. Even just going to my son's sports, she would always be there watching him. And it's been a struggle. It's just taking it day by day and just constantly looking for answers.
Mm. How has it been with the community helping you guys and supporting you, you know, in your process? What would you say to folks who have been helping you guys throughout all of this?
I've received a lot of support from the community. Also from I set up a Facebook page towards the very beginning just to keep everybody updated if there were any searches or anything, and just having the people that are on Facebook that never met us and they just pray for mom every day and knowing they're there, and if there's any searches or anything they can do to help, they're willing to do so. And so it's been nice to have the support of the community, the support of the people that are on the Facebook page as well.
Mm-hmm. If you were able to, you know, say something to your mom right now, what would that be?
I would just say that I miss you so much. You to come home. The kids miss you. The whole family misses you. It's hard living life without her here.
Wow. Is there anything that you guys need help with moving forward with searches or just anything, even passing flyers out or anything like that?
I went through here recently and just put flyers up all around town again. Anybody that wants to help with flyers, I can get them flyers, even if they want to pass them out at surrounding towns. If there's any kind of searches, foot searches or anything like that, and we need help, I'll put that on the Facebook page whenever we get that organized.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as police go, what are they telling you about the investigation or the case at this point?
The detective that was on the case from the very beginning, he just recently retired last month. And so there's two new officers at the Sullivan Police Department that are on her case now. And they're wanting to help get it solved. And the detective first retired, it was hard because I kind of felt all alone. He was the one who was always there from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want her case to go cold. But I did get to talk to the new detective, one of the new detectives that's on the case. And he seems like he's really going to try and do what he can to
find her and bring her home. I did find out when I was passing out flyers, I heard a lot of good things about both detectives. And then I also have connections with the highway patrol, and they stay in contact with me. They're still working her case. I'm trying to get the FBI involved still. I've tried for a long time to get them involved, and the detective before had tried. And so now this detective that's on the case is also trying to see if we can get them to help.
Is there any type of reward for information in the case?
There is. We have a $20,000 reward currently out there. I really thought that would be enough to be able to get some answers. And sadly, it hasn't.
So my last question for you is there anything that you want people to take away from your story that you would say you would do differently, you know, with, you know, when someone's loved one goes missing? Any advice or any thoughts for people from that standpoint?
I would just say, you know, like at the very beginning of the case, when I tried insisting, I know it's not the dementia. It wasn't like they were thinking. It was just the very beginning stages. I should have pushed that fact more to get them investigating more. I also had requested to have fingerprints run right there that first day, and they had said that there were too many people that have come through her apartment. I should have pushed more to be able to have that done right off the bat when we still had a chance, had her apartment, you know, looked over more thoroughly.
Is there anything else that you would like to add about your case that you want people to know about?
If there's anybody out there that has anything that they think might be able to help, you know, it could be something little. If there's anything at all out there, please come forward, call it in to the Sullivan Police Department. I really think it's just one little thing that we need, and we can at least find some clues to find out what happened to her.
When it comes to my final thoughts about this case, you have two ends of a spectrum. The first is, did Betty's newly diagnosed dementia start to suddenly affect her judgment, causing her to walk away from her home in a confused state? Or the other end of the line, did someone come to Betty's home and take her fentanyl patches and wanted more? Did something dramatic happen between the time when she was last seen by her neighbor and the rest of that day? Tanya says there were reports of alleged sightings, but nothing ever really panned out, leaving them with more questions than answers. And Betty's bank account and social security number hasn't been touched since her disappearance. So now the big question is, where do they search and what will they find? Tanya said they are planning to do more searches in the near future, and I'm hoping they will get the answers they're looking for, and soon. Right now, there's a $20,000 reward for information leading to Betty's whereabouts in the case. And if you have any information, call Sullivan Police at 573-468-8001 or their anonymous tip line at 573-860-5637. I'll keep an eye on the situation and let you know what happens next. If you have a case that you want me to check out, just visit me on the Intrigued Full Effect website or email me at intriguedfulleffect@hotmail.com. Until next time, be safe and stay true. The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Intrigued, Full Effect, Curious Cases, Disappearances, and Other Stuff podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of the host. The primary purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. The host of this podcast assumes no liability or responsibility for any activities in connection with opinions shared in the podcast. The podcast and blog associated with it shall not be used in any legal capacity or as a basis for expert testimony. Any copyright material in the podcast is approved by the owner or is part of the public domain. Music by Pond 5.